Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Anne Bogle, and this is What Should I Read Next? Welcome to the show that's dedicated to answering the question that plagues every reader. What should I read next? We don't get bossy on this show. What we will do here is give you the information you need to choose your next read. Every week, we'll talk all things books and reading and do a little literary matchmaking with one guest. Before we do that, I'm asking you guys to make sure you are subscribed to this podcast on iTunes. Just go to whatshouldireadnextpodcast.com/iTunes and hit subscribe. Doing that ensures that you won't miss out on future episodes, so make sure you take a minute to do that. Today, my guest is Deidre Riggs, who is an author, speaker, and blogger. Her new book, Every Little Thing, Making a World of Difference Right Where You Are, came out in October, and she blogs regularly at jumpingtandem.com. Deidre and I have a great conversation about her wonderful childhood memories of reading, why she chose one of the greatest writers of all time as her hated book, how the right book just finds you sometimes, and why she's on the naughty list at her local library. Let's get to it. Deidre, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you could. Deidre, you've been reading since you were a little kid. You're an author yourself. You just started a book club on your blog called Forward, and we'll link to that in notes. These are the marks of a person who loves books. Tell me a little about why you read and what books mean to you.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that I learned, I've been reading since I was little. And my mom, it was really important to my mother that I learned to read at a young age. And it wasn't anything she forced on me. I think it was something she saw in me that she could nurture and that I would appreciate. So I can remember being on my grandmother's front porch in Virginia when I was like three. And my grandmother had one of those old gliders that, you know, metal glider, and it kind of creaked. So you can hear that sound. And I can remember my mom and me on that glider with the See Sally Run books, those books way back then.
Yeah.
And so I remember learning that, you know, letters make words and words make sentences and sentences make paragraphs, and that we all have access to the same words, but when different people get a hold to them, they tell different stories because of the people who are holding on to them. And so I've just always been fascinated by that. So there's a little sentimentality there because it always takes me back to that, you know, those early memories with my mom and then being connected to my grandmother, but also because it just opens up worlds that I wouldn't know about otherwise. You know, I have my own imagination and then I have my own intellect about what I know. But when I read a book, it takes me to places I never could have imagined or informs me about things I never would have known, or pull something up out of me that needs to be dealt with, and that can change my perspective on the world. So that's why I read. I can't not.
Yes. Did you grasp that potential to step into other worlds through the pages of a book, even when you were so little?
Yeah. So when I was little, you know, there's this book, and my mom actually got it for me for Christmas one year, just a children's picture book. But it had real, you know, photographs in it. Uh-huh. There weren't illustrations. And it's called Law, L-A-W. And it's about a police horse. And like in the city. And I feel like it's in New York City. And I remember reading that book, and I would check it out from the library over and over and over again because it just introduced me. I didn't live in the city. I didn't know anything about horses. I didn't have any police officers in my world. And I didn't even know police officers could ride a horse. So I just remember being enthralled by that story. So that was, you know, little girl. And then, of course, getting older, I read, you know, Judy Blume and the People in the Attic. Oh, my gosh. V.C. Andrews, you know, those books.
I was always scared of those. I've never read those.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have these great literary experiences, and I wasn't choosing these deep literary books, but just that, you know, weird fantasy kind of, this is something completely other than my own experience. And I, you know, I was the child with the late, like up until 3 o'clock in the morning, because I could not stop reading the book, and then I had to get up and go to school the next day. And my mom tried to stop me and tried to keep, you know, get me to go to sleep, but it just wasn't happening. I just had to read till the end of the book. And it's just always been that way. And I do that even now to this day.
I love that. It sounds like you have a great literary heritage. And there's something to be said for reading books that are so good that you can't put them down, even if you do suffer the next morning.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you're loving these days, although I'm going to look up those books from your childhood. I'm so curious about the New York City mounted police officer.
Yeah.
Let me explain how this works. Okay. You're going to tell me three books you love, one book you hate, and what you've been reading lately, and then we'll talk about what you should read next.
All right.
Now, let's start with your favorites. Tell me three books you love. What's the first one?
Okay. Well, you know, the world is full of books, so to narrow this down to just three is so
difficult.
And
it's not your favorite ever. This isn't a bet. This isn't the top three. Okay. This is three books you love. It could be out of 300.
Okay. So the first book is called These Is My Words.
Mm-hmm. I love that one. My mom has been on me to read it for years, and I finally did last year. But tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I love that book. I knew nothing about it. I went to some friends of ours have a lake cottage, and I went to stay there one weekend, and she had this book there. And it just, you know, sometimes a book just finds you, and this one found me. And she had lots of books, but for some reason, this is the one I was drawn to. And I read it, you know, pretty much in that day that I found it. I think I carried over, again, like till 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. But it's a story about a young girl who's, you know, part of a family that's like the pioneer family moving out west. It's literary fiction, historical fiction. So she's young. And when she starts out, this is like her journal of this account of pioneering out to the west. And she's very young and she can barely read and write. And so when you start reading the book, it's, you know, very short sentences and not the grammar is off and the punctuation is off, but she's telling this story from her perspective. So it's not just the story, but it's the way that the story is told and the way that the author is able to capture her growth, not just in the experience, but in the way she writes. And so through the course of reading the book, her writing gets better and her understanding of the world becomes more clear. And of course she has, you know, there's some tragedy in there. And so it just changes her perspective. And you see that not only in the story, but in the actual form that the story takes. So it just fascinated me that the story was fascinating, but not only that, in the story, the writer could change the structure of a sentence, you know, to show us that this person, this character, was growing in many ways through this experience.
Yes, I thought it was so well done.
Mm-hmm.
What's your second book?
So my second book is Brown Girl Dreaming. And I read that book just this past summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that book. It just feels sweet to me when I think of it. I just think it's so sweet. And it's about a young girl. And she's just telling her story about growing up. But it's not prose. It's like poetry. And I have said forever that I don't like poetry. And so
I was just going to ask you if you had a hard time making yourself pick it up, because I resisted reading it for a long time because I didn't think I wanted to read a novel in free verse. Right. But something finally pushed me to do it, and oh, I just loved it. It was so beautiful.
Well, lucky for me, I didn't know it was free verse.
How serendipitous.
Yes. So I just saw, you know, it was floating. People were reading it. And so it was floating around the internet, or I would see it in a bookstore and or read an article about it, you know, or just see that there was an article, because if I'd read the article, I would have known. But I just thought, I need to read this book. And I like to, of course, I like to read books about young brown women, you know, coming of age. So I picked up this story and I could not put it down. And I was shocked because when I read like the first couple pages, I thought, okay, well, this is a nice introduction and surely it's going to turn into prose. And it never did. And I was never thrown by that. It was just so beautifully written. It's such a beautiful story. And it is just really, really sweet. And I remember not wanting it to end. I did read that one over a few days, but I just did not want it to end. Beautiful story.
Oh, it was so lovely. And it was just, it was such a compelling story. And she told it so well.
She really did. She did. Yeah.
And the things I didn't know about this book, I knew about the verse. I did not realize it was autobiographical. I thought it was straight up fiction. And until I got to the acknowledgement section and went, oh, no wonder she sounds like she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah. She just did it so well. I don't know. I'm sure I will read that book again. There aren't very many books that I read more than once. And this is probably one that I will read again.
I'm with you. It's really a compliment to a book if it's worth revisiting because there's so much to read.
Yeah. And then you just see it. You know, I just want to see if I see the same things when I read this book again. Mm-hmm. It was sweet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's book three?
Okay, book three is Bossy Pants.
Oh, that's fun.
Tina Fey, yes. I love Tina Fey. And I don't usually read books like this, though. You know, I don't know. I just don't usually read books by celebrities or about celebrities. But I like Tina Fey. And so I picked up this book in an airport. I was traveling from home to Texas one day and I had a little bit of a layover in Denver. So I knew I needed, you know, something to occupy my time. So I picked up this book again, could not put it down and laughed out loud. Like in the terminal, people around me, I didn't care. I was laughing. And on the airplane, I was laughing out loud. I was traveling by myself. Didn't know a soul on the airplane, but could not stop laughing. It's just so funny. And to read something that makes me laugh out loud and not be inhibited about that laughter, I don't know. It just, I knew that she had done something. And I was actually headed to a retreat, to speak at a retreat. And I ended up using, it's a Christian retreat, and I ended up using some of what I had read on the plane as a kind of a devotional thing. It was so.
Wow.
Yes.
She's versatile, that Tina Fey.
She really is. So yeah, I just love that. It was, you know, free. It was a moment in time and it made me laugh out loud. And I was just delighted that something I was reading could make me feel that way.
Oh, those are great picks. Okay. Now, this is fun too. Tell me what you hate. And don't hold back, at least not if the author's no longer living or too famous to care.
So the truth is that the books that I just cannot get into are the Jane Austen books. And I have tried and it's for me, it's just, I don't know. I just can't relate. I can't find a place to relate. I can't find my entry point into the story to be able to connect or care about any of the characters. And maybe one day I will, you know, maybe one day it will happen. I'm not going to give up. I haven't given up and said I'm casting them to the side forever because so many people have so much good to say about them. And I have seen the movies and I like the movies, but just can't for some reason find an entry point with the books. So
that is interesting.
Yeah.
Because they do have some of the characteristics you like. Like they have strong women growing up. Mm-hmm. The language is peculiar. To modern ears.
Yep. And that could be it too, because I read a lot of books for like research, for writing books, or, mm-hmm. you know, working on articles. And so when I'm reading for myself, I don't necessarily want to work too hard to be able to find my entry point. And that could be it with those stories. I'm not quite sure. I don't know. It could just be, I don't know, maybe I just have a block and I need to find my way through that. But,
you know, yeah. I do love Jane Austen. Mm-hmm. And I've read most of them numerous times.
Yeah.
But you are in good company. I mean, lots of people who read very well and yeah. write very well themselves, just they don't care. They don't like her. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? I think it's good. That's good to hear as a writer, too, because it's, you know, important for us to remember that not everyone's going to like what we write. And that's okay. You
know? That's a little painful when you turn it yeah. around like that, since I mm-hmm. am a writer. But yeah, if it's true for Jane Austen, it's going to be true for mm-hmm. the two of us.
Sorry.
I'm not offended on Jane's behalf. That is okay. No. And it's so helpful to find out what people like as well as mm. what they don't. So it mm-hmm. all forms the complete reader. And if you right. if you're the kind of person who likes everything, then where's the satisfaction in finding yeah. a good book? Yeah, true. you could just shoot darts. Now, tell us what you're reading right now.
So right now I'm in the middle of writing a book. And so I'm doing that thing I was talking about. I'm reading a lot of books for research. Mm-hmm. And they're good books. They're really good books. One that I'm reading that is really, really good that I highly recommend is called No Future Without Forgiveness. And it's by Bishop Desmond Tutu. Mm-hmm. Just a really, really deep book. Mm-hmm. And then I also have just finished Jesus and the Disinherited by Howard Thurman, which was written in 1949. But really, really relevant for today. Mm-hmm. And then I have this book, which has nothing to do with what I'm writing about, but it's a book that I just have had for a couple of years. And I got it from the library, and I haven't returned it. It's also historical fiction. With a strong female character, and it's called My Name is Resolute. And it found me too at a time in my life when I needed that word resolute. Uh-huh. And so it's a book I don't want to end. Every now and then I'll read some out loud to my daughter who's 24. And so I don't know how the story ends yet because I'm still kind of in the middle of it, but it's just a fascinating story about a young woman who becomes an indentured servant in America as a young girl, and just how does she survive that? How does she make it through? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
it's,
that word
it's a big
resolute,
thick one, isn't it?
It is. It's really big. It's going to take me. I hope the library people aren't listening because I have to send them some money for this book, and I can't go to the library anymore because I have this book.
Oh no. Well, I hope that they would at least appreciate that you are loving what you got from them.
Yes.
And want
yes,
to savor it.
I hope so.
I can see how they might cut you off, but yeah. But I hope they're happy at least part of it.
My picture's on the wall in there.
The library's most wanted.
Right.
Uh-huh. Other than that you'd like your library to let you back in the doors again, is there yes. anything you want to be different in your reading life?
Yeah, I mean, I always am looking for that balance. So, you know, knowing that I'm reading some heavy, dense books about reconciliation right now, I just like to have some stuff to balance that. So, something that's fun and that is lighter. You know, it doesn't have to be fluffy, but lighter. And just that's a good counterpoint to what I'm reading for research.
Is that essential to your reading life, especially when you're writing a book?
Yeah, I think so.
To feed all the parts of your brain.
Yeah, definitely. I think that balance is important. Even, you know, I write a lot about faith. And one of my resolutions that I don't make resolutions, but for the purposes of our conversation, one of my resolutions for 2016 is to read a book that is not a Christian book. Not a book. Read only books that are not Christian books this year. So, just to broaden my perspective, you know, my worldview, it can get become such a bubble, and it can become an echo chamber, and it can be just people feeding what I already think and mm-hmm. believe. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, just balance in all those ways.
Okay. I love your picks. These are great. And I have ideas.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear what you think about them. We okay. will get right to it after the break. Welcome back, Deidre. Here's what I'm noticing about your picks. You've chosen books that are on the surface very different, but I can see there's unity in the underlying themes. We have stories about strong female characters growing up, coming into their own. The protagonists don't mind painting outside the lines, and they're very reflective about their own experiences. And I also noticed, this might be total coincidence, and I'm wondering what you think, but your picks are all narrated in the first person. Now, what I'm wondering is, did you seek those things out on purpose, or did it just kind of happen that way?
I think it must have just happened that way.
Okay, interesting. And I also noticed that Jane Austen and some other books you've mentioned that you don't like do not share all those themes. Mm. Like, they share, you know, Austen's heroines are strong women, but they lack some of those other traits. They're not quite as relatable. They're not first-person narratives. The language mm-hmm. is a little more abstruse to the modern mm-hmm. ear. Mm-hmm. Coincidence, you think, or not?
No, I think that's probably right. I think you're right. This is like book therapy. Great.
Cheaper than the real one. A lot more fun, too. Although it'll yes. keep you up later. I also noticed that your books are all over the place for their time periods. So mm. I gave myself permission to do the same. I hope that's okay with you.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. My first pick is a historical novel that I really loved that came out. It was a big sensation the summer before last, and Oprah pick, I think, as well. It is The Invention of Wings by Sue Monk Kidd. Have you ever read it?
I have not read it.
Okay.
Many people have told me I should read that. Yeah, I'm excited that that's one of your suggestions for me.
Well, I hope that means I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal about the book. It's set in Charleston. It begins in November 1803 when a little girl from a wealthy family named Sarah turns 11. And so her family gives her a birthday gift, and that gift is a slave named Hetty, who is called Handful by her family because they think she is one. And it's a sweeping novel. It's fairly hefty, but you won't mind because it drives itself along. It tells the story in alternating voices. You hear from Sarah, you hear from Handful about what it was like to grow up during that time period. And the novel spans generations. The girls move up and down the coast. And Sue Monk Kidd based this novel on the real life abolitionist Sarah Grimke, and as a narrative device, she just made up out of whole cloth the slave girl. So it's an engaging mix of fact and fiction. I think it has all the qualities you love.
Yeah,
she writes such wonderful characters. Have you read anything else by her?
I have not. No, I haven't. I am writing this down. I'm going to get it.
Well, these will all be in show notes, so you don't have to scroll too hard.
Okay.
But if you do, you might want to rabbit trail down the rest of her works after you finish this one. She does write really compelling female characters.
Exciting. Good.
Okay. Now we are going to go to, let's go to the modern time. What do you know about Life in Motion by Misty Copeland?
I only can tell you that I love Misty Copeland, and I did not tell you this, I don't think. My original intent when I went to college was to minor in ballet.
No.
Yes, yes. So I am a big fan of Misty Copeland, and I have been following her for a long, long time, but have not read her book. So
now, a lot of people know her from her stint on So You Think You Can Dance, which I've never seen, so don't hate me.
Nope.
But I hear I'm missing out. I would love to see it one day. But did you see her on that show?
I did. That's also one of my favorite TV shows. So
I got to bump it up the list.
Yeah. She is a force to be reckoned with, really. And, you know, just she's serious. She's serious about the craft and just about her role in the world. And she understands that, And yeah, I just hold her in high esteem.
Yes. And she's so self-aware about her own journey. So for those who don't know Misty Copeland, she's a ballerina. She made history by earning a spot as the only African-American soloist at the American Ballet Theater. And that is a really big deal.
Yes.
That is the creme de la creme.
Yes.
So in this memoir, she looks back at her unlikely path to success. So as a kid, she moved all over the place. She talks about how she talks about her series of lucky breaks. There was really more than one. And then she talks about her incredible opportunities that she's gotten because of ballet. This is not a spoiler. You probably already know this about Misty Copeland. But my favorite part of the book was when she talks about Dancing with Prince and what that was like and how that came about. Because it just seemed like such an unlikely and awesome pairing.
Yeah, I'm going to read that book.
Now the story makes it worth reading. Mm-hmm. She is not a writer.
Okay.
And sometimes you wish that, you know, you could have been her editor. But all in all, the writing is strong enough to carry the story, even if you're not hanging on every word.
Okay, that's good to know.
At least not for its literary merits.
Right.
For book three, we're going back in time again to early 20th century New York. Have you ever read A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by Betty Smith?
I read that book when I was little. It was one of the books that my mom gave me to read as she was, you know, nurturing my reading habit, really. And it's one of those stories. I just remember loving it. And lately, you know, honestly, I have been thinking about that book again. And so for you to mention it, that's, I don't know, kismet or something. So,
well, I hope you think that's a sign that it's one of those books worth rereading.
I think so.
So for those who don't know, this is a modern classic, but not the boring kind. And it's funny, I read it because my mom gushed about it so long too, but she loved it so much that I think I didn't read it just kind of defiantly, but I finally read it last year and thought, where has this book been all my life? And I was just sorry I'd waited so long. So it's about a little girl growing up in Brooklyn. I was afraid it would be boring, but a tree growing in Brooklyn is actually a metaphor that might be on the opening page. It's very early in the story. And I was hooked from there. No description I ever heard before made me want to pick it up. So I'll spare you the plot synopsis, but it is wonderful. It's so evocative about Brooklyn that in the early 20th century. Deidre, I'm wondering if you connected to that book as a writer, because Francie Nolan desperately wants to be her writer. She sees that as her way out and up.
You know, probably I don't think so, because then I wasn't thinking of myself as a writer. And it's probably something I admired in her, the way that she expressed herself through, you know, wanted to express herself through words and writing. But I don't think I connected that we were the same in that way. You know, I think that I was probably an observer of that part of her life more than a participant with her.
So
that's interesting. It's also interesting that I liked that book. I mean, same thing that you said about your mom, because my mom and I, while she was my original pusher when it came to reading, she and I do not like the same books. And so for us to both have enjoyed A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, that's saying something for us.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, now that you have grown up and become a writer, I am interested to hear what you'll think about it from the other side of that age bracket.
I think so too. I think, and I think I said it earlier in this conversation, I do think sometimes books bind us. And I feel like these three are kind of like sitting on the other side of my desk, just waiting, like, here we are for you. So I'm excited about these suggestions. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear it.
Reading them.
Well, what do you think you'll read next?
I'm not sure. I feel like I'm going to get all three of those books. And I don't know. Do you read more than one book at a time? Sometimes I'm reading more than one book at a time.
I am always reading more than one book at a time. Yeah. But I do know that makes some people crazy.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I'll probably get all three and start them all. And one will push itself to the forefront. So I can't decide. I really can't decide. They all sound so good. I want to read them all right now.
Well, I hope you enjoy them. I can't wait to hear what you think.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the suggestions. Thanks for letting me be on.
Oh, great. Thanks so much for talking books with me. It was so fun. And I'd love to hear more about your experience and your background with reading.
Yeah, well, I will let you know how this goes. I'm excited about it.
Okay, so for those who want to find you, we will put all your information in show notes. Thanks so much for coming on, Deidre.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good one. Hey, everyone. I love chatting with Deidre about ridiculous library finds and coming-of-age stories and Jane Austen. I hope you enjoyed it, too. Remember, you can connect more with Deidre at her blog, jumpingtandem.com, or on Twitter and Instagram at Deidre Riggs. Also, be sure to check out her book, Every Little Thing, Making a World of Difference Right Where You Are. Before we go, don't forget, go to whatshouldireadnextpodcast.com/iTunes and make sure you are subscribed to this podcast. Thanks again so much for listening. If you are on Twitter, let me know there at Anne Bogle. That is Anne with an E, B-O-G-E-L. Okay, that's it for this episode of What Should I Read Next? As Rainer Maria Rilke says, ah, how good it is to be among people who are reading. Happy reading, everyone.
Do you find it hard to sleep at night? Then the Sleep Cove podcast can help you. Hi, I'm Christopher Fitton, the voice and clinical hypnotherapist behind Sleep Cove. Sleep Cove features sleep hypnosis, meditations, and bedtime stories, all designed to help those of you who struggle at night to achieve a restful and peaceful night's sleep. Search for Sleep Cove on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and see why Sleep Cove helps millions of people sleep deeply all night long.
At a time when change is constant and we are pulled in far too many directions, we need a way to stay present to life and to increase our ability to remain calm, think clearly, and maintain our well-being. Many studies indicate mindfulness improves our mental, emotional, and physical health. On A Mindful Moment with Teresa McKee, you can learn how to practice mindfulness and enjoy its many benefits. Tune in for guided meditations and to hear tips and advice from some of the most respected experts in the fields of mental health and mindfulness. The world truly can be a better place. It all starts with a mindful moment.